Okay, so let's get started. We are on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, and hopefully we'll cover most of Yud Ches, or a significant part of Yud Ches. I'm not sure we're going to end up finishing the second parak today, but we'll certainly get very close, and if not today, then God willing, next time we will definitely plan to finish the second parak. We'll have just maybe a little bit by the end of the shiur today. So like I said, we are three lines up from the Y lines on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, where it says Kol HaKasuv. So Kol HaKasuv B'Megillas Tainis, anything that was written in Megillas Tainis, the lo l'mispad, the fun of Aser, la'achra of Mutar. So if you remember, the Mishnah had this statement that anything that's written in Megillas Tainis. So if you remember, Megillas Tainis is a list of all the holidays that all like the minor holidays that used to be observed. They are no longer really observed, but they used to have a list of all these holidays, these minor holidays, and as a result, it gives a list of which days, therefore, we are not allowed to give eulogies or give fasts. It's not always the same thing, but on some days we can't give eulogies, and on some days we can't give fasts. We can't fast on those days. And so says the Mishnah that any holiday that's written in Megillas Tainis, Zelo l'mispa, that we're not allowed to give a eulogy. Well, lefanav aser, that means the day before is going to be prohibited also to give a eulogy, and la'acharav motor, but the day after will be permissible to give a eulogy. So that's the rule. Anytime we're told that it's prohibited to eulogize, which by the way, whenever we're told that it's prohibited to eulogize, that also by definition, by implication, means that we're therefore prohibited in fasting as well. If we're told that that there's a prohibition of fasting, then that's all that is a prohibition. But if we're told that there's a prohibition in eulogizing, then for sure there's a prohibition in fasting. So, but over here, we're told that any holiday that there is a prohibition in eulogizing, that also means that there is a prohibition to eulogize the day before. So let's say the holiday is on Monday. So there is therefore a prohibition to eulogize on Monday. There is also a prohibition to eulogize on Sunday. However, on Tuesday, you are allowed to give a eulogy. Okay, that was all just a re-explanation of what happened in the Mishnah. Let's see what the Gemara has to say. A lot of Aramaic that we're going to have over this stuff. We always have Aramaic because it's the Gemara, but it seems like to me, anyways, a much greater amount of Aramaic words than usual. But let's see what the Gemara has to say. Tano Rabbanan, the rabbis taught in a braisa. Eilin yomin delo lehis anas delo lehis ana'a bahun mitzason delo lemispad bahun. So these days that we are not supposed to fast on them also includes some days that we're not supposed to eulogize on them. Meaning there is an obligation that one is not allowed to fast on a holiday. And so of those days that one is not allowed to fast on, there is also some of those days that have an extra strict rule where you cannot give a eulogy as well. Meresh Yarchat in Nisan ve'ad Tamnaya Bay. So from the 1st of Nisan, right, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until the 8th of Nisan, Itkom Tamida, there the Tamid offering was established. What does it mean that the Tamid offering was established? So Rashi explains rather simply we'll do it outside. So that there, basically Rashi explains that there was a big argument when it came to the Korban Tamid. When exactly? Let's see it inside. So it's basically parallel to where we are, but like six lines up. So Itkum Tamida. No, not that one. Where is it? Oh, sorry. Here, okay. So it's actually parallel, but a few lines down from where we are. So Meiresh Yarchad Denisan Ve'ad Tamnia Bei Itkum Tamida Delo LeMispad. So what happened? Shayu Hatzadukim Omrim Yachin Misnadev Umevi Tamid. So evidently there was a group of Sadukim. There was a group of Sadducees that said what? That the Tamid offering is not offered by the Klal. It's not offered by the community, but rather it is paid for by individuals, and it is brought by an individual. My darish, where did they get this from? Esa keves echad ta'aseva boker, v'esa keves hasheni ta'aseva in harbayim. If you look at the words, it says ta'ase is singular, so therefore the Sadducees took this pasuk to understand that the Korban Tamid is brought by a single individual. My adaruluhu, what did the rabbis say back to the Sadducees to explain that that's not the case? As Korban ilach mi li'ishai tishmeru. It says tishmeru, which means that's a plural. So evidently what the rabbis hold is that the Korban Tamid offering is a communal offering that is paid for by donations of the Machzor HaShekel. by the communal pool. But basically, the Tzedukim and the rabbis were arguing about whether or not it was a communal or an individual offering. And the rabbis ultimately won this battle, because it's kum tamida, says the Gemara, which means that the tamid offering was established, meaning the rabbis ended up being found correct. So anyways, so let's go back to the Gemara now. Meresh yarcha de Nisan, v'yad timnaya bay, it's kum tamida. From the 1st of Nisan to the 8th of Nisan, that's when the tamid offering was established. Evidently, it was like an 8-day long battle between the rabbis and the Sadducees, and what ended up happening was the rabbis ended up being right. The rabbis ended up being victorious in their battle over the course of this 8 days, and as a result, these 8 days were established as like a minor holiday, and therefore, delo the mispad bahon, says the Gemara, there were no eulogies given on that day, and again, by implication, if there are no eulogies given, that also means that there was no fasting that took place on that day. Mitimnaya be ad sof mo'ada itosav chaga deshvuaya. So from the 8th day of Nisan until the end of the holiday until the end of the holiday, which means until the end of the holiday of Pesach, that's when the date of Shavuos was settled. What does it mean the date of Shavuos was settled? Well, if you remember, if you know, we just had the holiday of Shavuos. On Shavuos, there is no set date given in the Torah for when Shavuos is supposed to land. It is 49 days. You have to count 7 weeks after when? After Mimacharas HaShabbos. After, on the day after Shabbat. So what does it mean the day after Shabbat? So it was a huge machlokas. Again, Rashi explains, but we'll do this one outside. There was a huge machlokas between the Baitusim and the rabbis. The Baitusim said, what does it mean Mimacharas HaShabbos? It means after Shabbos. It means that the count always begins on the day after Shabbos. So what's the day after Shabbos? Sunday. What do the rabbis explain? No, Mimacharas HaShabbos in the case of Sfiras Omer, in the case of Shavuos, does not mean after Shabbos on Sunday. It means after Shabbos, after the day of rest of the first day of Pesach. That's why we begin counting Sfiras Omer and therefore begin the countdown to Shavuos on the second day of Pesach. But on the second night, that's when we actually begin. That's when we count the first night of Sfiras Omer. And anyway, so that's the battle that took place between the Baitusim and the rabbis between the 8th of Nisan and the end of the holiday of Pesach. And therefore, and so that's why it's considered that that's when the date of the holiday of Shavuos was settled. And therefore, delo the mispad bahon, since this was such a great victory that the rabbis had, it was decided that you're not going to eulogize on those days, and again, you're not going to fast on those days as well. Okay, now we're going to try to spend a lot of time explaining what all this is about. Amar Mar, we learned just before. Meresh yarcha de Nisan ad timnaya bay, itkom tamida delo le mispad. We said that from the 1st to the 8th of Nisan, it was established, the tamid offering was officially established, that the rabbis won out the victory, the one between the battle between them and the Sadducees, and therefore, we said we're not going to eulogize on those days, and again, by implication, we're not going to fast on those days as well. Says the Gemara, "Lamli mireish yarcha lema mitrei b'nisan rosh chodesh gufei yom tov huva aser." How come we have to say that there's no eulogizing, and again, no fasting from the 1st of Nisan to the 8th of Nisan? Just say from the 2nd day of Nisan through the 8th day of Nisan. Why? Because what's the 1st day of Nisan by definition? The 1st day of Nisan is Rosh Chodesh by definition, and therefore that's considered like a yontif, and therefore it's totally prohibited to eulogize, totally prohibited to fast. So why not say it like that? Amarav lo nitzrucha ela le'asor yom shelefanav. The reason why we say that the first day that we count from day 1 of Nisan through day 8 of Nisan is because we want to come and prohibit the day before. Why? So we said previously that how does it work for eulogies? Well, the day before a eulogy is prohibited is also prohibited to eulogize. That's the rule of eulogies. So therefore, we came to include the first day of Nisan so that we can come to really include the 29th day of Adar that came before then. So that's why we counted, even though we technically would not need to say the first day of Nisan because it's Rosh Chodesh, and obviously eulogies are prohibited, we do it also include the 29th day of Adar, which is the day preceding that. Says the Gemara, wait a second. You should say that you should say the following, that if we say when it comes to all these very minor rabbinic holidays that the day before is going to be prohibited because of the day, because of the very next day, then the day before should also be prohibited since it's the day before Rosh Chodesh, right? Meaning again, so we say day 1 through 8 of Nisan is prohibited from eulogizing, and we say therefore that by implication day 29 of Adar, which is the day before day 1 of Nisan, we say that's prohibited as well. So if that's the case, when we have some small minor rabbinic holiday, so how come when it comes to something like Rosh Chodesh, do we not say that the day before is also prohibited in fasting? Why do you need to say that this other holiday is happening? So says the Gemara, no, because Rosh Chodesh Rosh Chodesh Deo Reisahu. Rosh Chodesh is a Torah mandated concept, and Vido Reisa Lo Ba'i Chizuk. And as a result, the Torah does not need Chizuk. So what does this mean? The Torah does not need Chizuk. So again, let's try to dissect it. So since Rosh Chodesh is a Torah concept, so therefore we assume that the matters that are relevant to Rosh Chodesh, we are going to upkeep them because we trust whatever the Torah says, whatever the Torah teaches us. However, when it comes to the rabbinic fasts or the rabbinic holidays, rather, that the rabbinic holidays are something that were told by the rabbis to us. God didn't say it. A mere mortal said it, and again, a great rabbi, of course, said it, but it was a small comparison to a Kadosh Baruch Hu commanding us, and since, therefore, the rabbis commanded it, we say that those things are tzrich and chizuk, that those things need a little extra strength. How do we give those things extra strength? Well, we say that just like the day of you can't eulogize, we say the day before you can't eulogize. Again, just to sort of give a little bit of a oomph, a little bit of power to the rabbinic mandate. However, when it comes to a Torah mandate, which we don't need a little extra for, so we say the day of, it sounds a little counterintuitive, but that the day of will be prohibited in eulogizing, but the day before will not be prohibited in eulogizing, because it doesn't need chizuk. So therefore, that's why having Rosh Chodesh on the first day of Nisan won't help, because the Rosh Chodesh will not eliminate the previous day from having a eulogy. It will only be if there is a rabbinic holiday on the first day of Nisan. So that's why they have the count of the first of Nisan through the 8th of Nisan. Where does all this come from? The Tanya that we have a Braisa, Hayamim Ha'ila Haksuvin B'Megillas Tainis, these days that are written in Megillas Tainis, Lifneim U'Lachreim Asurin, the day before and the day after are prohibited, meaning so the holidays that we have in Megillas Tainis, so we're prohibited from fasting on those days, and the day before and the day after are also prohibited in fasting. But Shabbasos V'Yamim Tovim Hein Asurin, one cannot fast on those days, but when it comes to Shabbos and Yasef, even though the day itself is prohibited in fasting, the day before and the day after is permissible to fast. What's the difference between these two things? Because halalu divrei Torah, these things are matters of Torah, but divrei Torah ain't tzrich and chizek. And matters of Torah don't need a little extra chizek, don't need a little extra strength. Halalu divrei sofrim, these things are rabbinic matters, but divrei sofrim tzrich and chizek. And rabbinic matters do need chizek. So therefore, we prohibit the day before and the day after when it comes to a rabbinic matter, but when it comes to a Torah matter, we just say, again, a Doraisa matter, we say that it's only the day itself, but nothing before or after. Okay, that's that conversation. Amar Mar, Braisa went further. Mitamnea be ad sof moada itosav chaga deshvuaya delo lemispad. That's from the eighth of Nisan until the end of the holiday of Pesach. That's we also don't eulogize and don't fast on those days, because that's when the rabbis won up the battle between the Baitusin to establish the date as to when we start counting for Shavuos. Lamali ad sof moed, says the Gemara, a similar question to the Rosh Chodesh question. Why do we need to say until the end of the holiday of Pesach? Lema ad hamoed, say that from the 8th of Nisan until the holiday, that's when you're prohibited in eulogizing. Umoed gufe yom tov huve aser, and the holiday of Pesach itself is a moed, and therefore it's specifically prohibited from eulogizing as well. So why do you have to say specifically from the 8th to the end of Pesach? Just say from the 8th until Pesach, and then Pesach will speak for itself that it's prohibited in fasting or eulogizing. Says the Gemara, why do we need to include those days in the count? Because Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa said, "Kedah Amar Rav." It's like that which Rav said, that lo nitzrucha ela la asur yom shalafana. We're now on the top of Yud Ches Med Aleph. That you only need it. That Rav said you prohibited a specific day because we wanted to prohibit the previous day. Hachanami lo nitzrucha. This additional amount of days was given ela la asur yom shalacharav, because now he specifically went to prohibit the day that follows. So in other words, when it came to the statement of Rav, it was all about prohibiting the day that came before, which was the 29th of Adar. Here now we want to prohibit the day that comes after the holiday of Pesach, and that's the day that we specifically want to say is prohibited for one to eulogize and fast on. Okay, so Kiman, who is this like? Who is this opinion like? Rabbi Yossi, this is all like Rabbi Yossi. So in other words, what's the question over here? We're specifically asking about Rav Papa's opinion. Rav Papa, who said that over here that the count from the day 8 of Nisan through the end of Pesach, that why is it that we are specifically including through Pesach, and because it's all because we want to prohibit the day after. So who is this idea like? It's like Rabbi Yossi. Why? Because the Amar Bein Lefan of Bein La'achrav Aser, because Rabbi Yossi was the one who said that that when it comes to a prohibition and a fast day, that both the day before and the day after are going to be prohibited to fast as well. So, ihachi, okay, fine. So, just a little context for that as well. So, Rabbi Yossi has a machlokos with Rabbi Meir. There are two machlokos that they have. Well, on the one hand, when it comes to fasting, Rabbi Yossi says that when you have a fast on say, Monday, then day Sunday and day Tuesday are going to be prohibited in fasting. Rabbi Meir says that only Sunday will be prohibited, but that Monday will be permissible. They also have a fast regarding Yule. That Rabbi Meir says that when a certain rabbinic holiday, therefore, prohibits a fast, Rabbi Meir says that neither the day before nor the day after are prohibited in eulogizing, but Rabbi Yossi says that the day before on Sunday will be prohibited in eulogizing. Okay, so with that context, again, let's go back. So this statement of Rav Papa is aligned with Rabbi Yossi, because Rav Papa said the whole idea of prohibiting through Pesach is to prohibit the day following Pesach. Well, that can only be like Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi is specifically the one who says that if you have a prohibition of a fast on day one, therefore the following day is going to be prohibited in fasting, and that's only Rabbi Yossi, and that's not like Rabbi Meir. So evidently, Rav Papa holds like Rabbi Yossi. Again, Damar Ben Lefana Ben Lachravasar, because he says the day before and the day after are going to be prohibited in fasting. Ihachi, so if all of this is true, if this is so, be'esrim v'tisha nami, then when it comes to the 29th of Adar, also, that what? That the 29th of Adar also should be that my iri dehava yoma, demikme yoma, demitokam temida, that... okay, so in other words, one second... okay, fine. So if this is true, says the Gemara, then remember what the Gemara said previously before. We said that when it came to the 29th of Adar, that we wanted to prohibit fasting and eulogizing on that day as well, and therefore we had to include Rosh Chodesh Nisan in the count that from days 1 to 8 are prohibited, so that we know that day 29 of Adar is also prohibited. But says the Gemara, if this is so, be'esher metishan nami, that when it comes to the 29th of Adar, my iria dehave yoma demikme yoma demitokam temida. Why do we need to involve the day that the days of when the Tumid offering how it was established? Why do we need to say that day 1 through 8? Typically, Tehava Layoma Debaster Esrin Vitimnayabe. Say very simply that the 29th of Adar is not the day before the 1st of Nisan, but rather that it's the day after the 29th of Nisan. Titania Be Esrin Vitimnayabe, and then on the 28th day of Nisan, Atat besorta tevata lihudai. There was good news that was delivered to the Jewish community. Delo yeidon min oraisa, that they would not be removed from Torah observance and Torah study. Shapa machas nigzera gzera al Yisrael, that there was once a decree that was given on the Jewish people. Shelo yasku b'Torah, that they shouldn't be learning Torah. Veshelo yumolu espenei, that they shouldn't be circumcising their sons. Veshechalu b'Shabbosos, and that they should be being mechal al Shabbos. Ma'asa Yehuda ben Shamua v'chaverav. What happened? What did Yehuda ben Shamua and his friends do? Halchu v'nalu eitza mimetronisa achas shekol gedolei romai mitzuyan etzla. Well, they went to take advice from this Roman matron who was very often frequented by all of the notable. By all of the notable people of Rome. So they want to go get advice. Amra Lahem, she said to them, Amdu v'hifgina balayla. This is very apropos. This is what we call, a daf a week coincidence. What happened? Amdu v'hifgina balayla. She said that you have to rise up and cry out in protest overnight. Halchu v'hifgina balayla. So what did they do? They did that. They just said they had a protest. They gave a protest at night. And Amru, they said, E Shamayim says, like, oh heaven. So the first part of their statement is like a cry to God, but and that was E Shamayim. The next part of the statement seems to be a cry out to the Romans. That Lo Achim Anachnu, we are not, they says the Romans, are we not brothers? Lo B'nei Av Echad Anachnu, are we not all from one father? Lo B'nei Eim Achas Anachnu, are we not all from one mother? Ma Nishtaninu Mikol Uma Veloshon Shatem Gozrin Aleinu Gezeres Raus. What makes us different from all the other nations and all the other tongues, that you specifically make a decree, an evil decree on us, meaning say the Jews to the Roman people, why are you picking on us? There's so many other people. Do we not bleed the same red blood? Do we not have the same ultimate ancestral heritage? Of course, we're all from the same first person of Adam and Chava, so therefore the Romans heard this, ubatlum, and therefore the Romans said, well, you're right, and we're going to nullify the decree. They no longer had to fear to study Torah and to follow the Torah. Ve'oso hayom asa'uhu yom tov, and on this day, which what was this day? This day was the 28th day of Adar. So on the 28th day of Adar, that's when they established a yom tov as a result of this. And therefore what? So this was all to tell us that on the 28th day of Adar, there is a holiday. And if there is a holiday on the 28th day of Adar, then that means that if we follow like Rabbi Yossi's opinion, well, that means the day after the 28th of Adar, aka the 29th day of Adar, is going to be a day in which it is prohibited to be fasting as well. So therefore, we shouldn't need to have the first of Nisan included in this count to prohibit the 29, because, so let's say this slowly. Since we can learn out from the 28th that it's prohibited on the 29th, we therefore don't need the first of Nisan to prohibit the 29th, because again, we have the 28th. So that's the question. So therefore, it says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, lo nitzricha ela lechodesh meubar. No. You're right. It's a good point. We really don't need to count from Rosh Chodesh Adar. We can really count from the second day of Adar, because we can always say that we'll learn from the 28th for the 29th. However, says the Gemara, let's say we have a chodesh meubar. Let's say we have a what's called a full month of Adar, and therefore there will not be 29 days in Adar, but rather there will be 30 days in Adar. And if there are 30 days in Adar, that means the day after the 28th is going to be the 29th, and the day before Rosh Chodesh Nisan is going to be the 30th. And if we want to prohibit the 30th of Adar, the only way to do that is by prohibiting the first day of Nisan. So that's why we always count from day one of Nisan, because lest there might be Adar maybe a full month, and we're going to be counting from the last day of Adar, which is now the 30th of Adar, when it's a full month. Okay, but otherwise, you're right. Technically, you don't need to come from the first of Nisan. Ravashi, Mar Ravashi says, no, afilu tema lecholesh chaser. You could even say that we need to come from the first of Nisan when it's a chaser, when it's an incomplete month, when it's only 29 days, because kol shela achara betainis aser behesbin mutter. Because when it comes down to it, what are we paskin? That any that the day after a tainis is going to be prohibited to fast, but the day after it's prohibited to fast, the day after it's also going to be prohibited to fast, but the day after it's prohibited to eulogize is going to be permissible to eulogize. So if we want to include all of these things, really what we need to do is we need to also count the first of Nisan to prohibit eulogizing as well. And therefore, since it's basically it's sandwiched between these 2 days, it's sandwiched between the first of Nisan and the 20th day of Adar, we basically make this day like a Yom Tov itself. And even in eulogizing, it's prohibited. It's a very weird thing that both fasting and eulogizing would be prohibited on this day. And the only explanation for that is because we have the 28th of Adar and the first of Nisan that are both prohibited in these things, and therefore automatically, no matter which way you swing it, the 29th of Adar is going to be prohibited and everything. It's like a Yom Tov to itself. Okay, Adka. Amar Mar. Now we're going to go further into this mission over here. How are we doing on time? Okay, we're doing pretty good on time. Okay, so Amar Mar. So previously into the statement of this Braisa, into the statement of Megillas Tainis, Mitim Naya Bey, from the 8th of Nisan, Ve'ad Sof Moada, until the end of the holiday, Itosav Chag de Shvuaya, that's when the holiday, the date regarding the holiday of Shavuos was settled, Zelo L'mispad, and therefore, we don't eulogize on these dates, from the 8th to the end of Pesach. Lama lila mimar mitam naya be lima mitishabe. Oh, says the Gemara, I have a good question for you. Why do we say from day 8 through the end of Pesach, say from day 9, because you already have from day 1 through day 8, so why do you not have from day 8 through the end of Pesach? It's overlapping days. Say from day 9 through the end of Pesach. The Timnaya Gufa Yasser, because the 8th day is already prohibited. So what do you need to prohibit it again? The Havale Yoma, the Itkom Beit Mida. You know why? Because the first 8 days, why are they prohibited? Because of the establishment of the date because of the establishment and the victory of the rabbis against the Sadducees. But Kevan's Elu Mikla Milso, but Lina Lishiva Timnaya. But what might happen? Let's say the first 7 days of Nisan will become nullified. Why will they become nullified? Well, because maybe something will happen on those days, some terrible tragedy. And if some terrible tragedy happens on those days, then they're going to say that there is no holiday, and therefore the prohibition to fast will become nullified. And therefore it's going to happen that from day 1 through 8 will be totally prohibited, will be totally permissible to fast. How do you maintain the sanctity of day 8? Well, very simple. Because gufe aser da havale yoma kama di itosa bechaga di shuaya. Well, very simple. 1 second. Did I read this wrong? No, sorry. I apologize. Kivan di ilu mikla milsa ubatlini l'shivat timnaya. Period. That since something could happen and it might come that the first 7 days will become nullified, we still want to be able to say that day 8 is prohibited in fasting. So that's why we overlap in days. We count it as part of the first category of 1 through 8, and we also count it as part of the second category of 8 through the end of Pesach. Okay, so it says the Gemara gufe aser dahavala yoma kama di tosa bechaga d'shvuaya. So says the Gemara, what are you talking about over here? You just said a second ago that the day before is going to be prohibited both in eulogizing and fasting. If day Monday is prohibited, then day Sunday and Monday will be prohibited as well. So you could still count from day 9, and still day 8 will become prohibited. Says the Gemara, no. I apologize, it's been a long day. Go for Asher Daham, I'll let you. Okay, so I believe that's just the response of the Gemara. So again, so let's go back. So the Havala Yoma di Itkom Beit Mida, right? Okay, so let's go back to the question. Lamali the Meimar mitimnaya be lema mitisha be. So why do you have to start from day 8? Start from day 9. Vitimnaya gufe aser. Because the 8th day will still become prohibited. Because the 8th day will still be considered prohibited. To have a yoma de itkum beitamida. Because what's going to happen? Maybe the day of the tamid offerings, the 1 through 8, will become. So, let's do it slowly. Thank you. Okay. Lama lemeimar. Why do we need to say mitimnayabe? Why do we need to start from that? So, mitimnaya, that's 8. So, why do we need to say from day 8 that it's prohibited? Lema mitisha. So, say that it's from day 9 that it's prohibited. Day 9 through the end of Pesach Bay. Mitimnaya gufe aser. And by definition, if we say that day 9 is prohibited, then that means day 8 is definitely going to be prohibited as well. So why not? The havale yoma di itkum be tamida, why will day 8 still be prohibited? Because the havale yoma di itkum be tamida, because that was one of the days that the tamid offering was established. So says the Gemara, no, kevan de ilu mikla milsa, because maybe something terrible will happen, but lina l'shiva timnaya, and the first 7 days are then going to be, the days 1 through 7 are then going to be made into days in which it's prohibited to fast, it's permitted to fast because the holiday was prohibited, there's no longer a holiday, and says the Gemara, gufe aser, the havale yoma kamadi tosa bechaga deshvuaya, so then the day. Which day are we talking about over here? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I believe that the Gemara is, and I'll double check for next time, but I believe the Gemara is settling over here. So what's going to happen? So it's just proving a point that Gufa Yasha, they eat, is going to be prohibited. So in other words, the reason why we need to make them overlapping is because if the first 7 days are eliminated, then that means day eight will also be eliminated, and therefore we need to preserve day eight by saying that day eight through the end of Pesach is going to be prohibited. But I'm going to double check that for next time. I apologize. Okay, well, but let's go further. Hashta da'asas lahachi. So now that we've said this, Esrim b'tishanami, the 29th day of Adar, kivan de'ilu mikla milso, but lina esrim b'timnaya, esrim b'tisha, gufe asur, ta'avale yoma de'mikme yoma de'itkum tamida. Very simple, says the Gemara. We were struggling before, trying to understand this opinion of why it was that the 20, we were struggling before trying to understand why it is that the first day of Nisan had to be considered a prohibition. All right, why couldn't you count two through eight instead of 1 through 8? And we said, well, it all had to do with the fact how we count from the 28th of Adar to the 29th of Adar. So it says the Gemara over here, when it comes to the 29th of Adar, Kaven, since the Ilu Mikla Milso, but Lina, the Esther Mitzimnaya, since something could come along and it could make the 28th day of Adar a no longer a holiday, and therefore it will no longer be prohibited in fasting, so Esther Mitisha, Gufe Aser. We still want to maintain the sanctity of 29th and make sure that it's not going to have any, and make sure there will be a prohibition of fasting. So the Havale Yoma, the Mikme Yoma, the Itkum Tamida. And so how do we do that? Well, it's very simple, because we maintain the sanctity by saying that it's the day before, that it's the day before Rosh Chodesh. So that's the answer that we could have given above. I'm still stuck on this previous statement. Just give me one more minute. I want to try to figure it out. I'm not sure. Okay, so let's keep going back to it. Itmar was stated, Rabbi Chiya bar Asi Amar Rav Halacha k'Rabbi Yosi, v'Shmuel Amar Halacha k'Rabbi Meir, says the Gemara. There was an Amoraic statement. Rabbi Chiya bar Asi said, in the name of Rav, that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, and Shmuel says, and Shmuel said that the Halacha is like Rabbi Meir. So we got a big problem over here, because what Halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, and what Halacha is like Rabbi Meir? We said they had a machlokas regarding two things, regarding fast days and regarding eulogy days. So even though they're overlapping, the Halacha seems to be different regarding each of those days. So says Rashi very simply that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yosi regarding eulogizing. So when Rav Chiya bar Asi says in the name of Rab that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, it means that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yosi regarding eulogizing, who again said that if it's prohibited to eulogize on Monday, then Sunday will also be prohibited in eulogizing, but Tuesday will be permitted in eulogizing. And Rabbi Meir's opinion again is that if Monday is prohibited in eulogizing, then both Monday and Sunday are permitted in eulogizing. Okay, umi amar Shmuel hachi. And 1 second, do we really say that Shmuel says this? Do we really say that Shmuel says that the halacha is like Rabbi Meir? But Tani, we have a brisa. Rashbag Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer umatam alomar bahun. Why is it that if you remember the statement that was made in Megillas Tainus, it says this weird idea of bahun. Says Rashi, dolo lehis ana bahun. We say that we don't fast on them. Umiktsason dolo lemispad bahun. And we say that we don't eulogize on them. Why do we repeat the word bahun twice? It's repeated twice to teach us that those days are prohibited, but the days before and the days after are both permitted. And Shmuel says that the halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that both the day before and the day after are going to be permitted, and there will not be and there will not be any eulogizing going on. So says the Gemara, Mi Kara Savar, Kevan Deleika Tana, the Mekel Krebi Meir, Amar Halacha Krebi Meir. So first Shmuel came along and said that the halacha is like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Then came along, Kevan Deshmaya Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, the Mekel Tefei, Amar Halacha Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. So again, so going back, let's review. So Shmuel in the statement above just said that we pass on the Krebi Meir. However, who again says that the day before and the day after are going to be permitted Oh, okay, I apologize, everyone. Let's spell this out a little bit clearer. Okay, so Rabbi Meir again says that the day before and the day after when it comes to eulogizing will be totally permitted. However, when it comes to fasting, the day before is going to be prohibited. When it comes to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel's statement over here, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel in the Braisa says that it says Bahon Bahon twice to teach us that day it's going to be prohibited, meaning fasting is going to be prohibited, but the day before and the day after are going to be permitted. So that's against Rabbi Meir, because again, Rabbi Meir says that the day before is going to be prohibited for fasting. So, but evidently we have this idea that Shmuel says that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, which seems to be more lenient than Rabbi Meir. So how could it be? How can you tell me that Shmuel says he holds like Rabbi Meir, because over here he holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? Says the Gemara, no. Mi kara savar kivan deleika tana demekal k'Rabbi Meir. From the beginning, Shmuel was looking for a leniency. He knew that he had a tradition that the most lenient opinion was the right opinion. And he held, therefore, because he heard, that the most makel opinion was Rabbi Meir. So therefore he says, Amar Allah k'Rabbi Meir. So he says that Allah is like Rabbi Meir, that it's prohibited to fast on the day before, but that it's permitted on the day after. So that's why he said that Allah is like Rabbi Meir. But Kevan Deshamei L'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel de'mekel tefei. But once he heard there is a more lenient opinion that says that if you have a day of fasting on Monday, then day Sunday will also be permitted in fast. It will be permitted to fast. So Amar Allah k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Then he went to the more lenient opinion and followed Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Okay. V'chein Amar Bali Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. So what's Bali? So Rashi says Bali, who is that? Shem Chacham. So evidently Bali was the name of some great Talmud Chacham. So this is what Bali said in the name of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha k'Rabbi Yossi, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Amar le Rabbi Chiya le Bali, Rabbi Chiya says to Bali, Asavra lecha, I'm going to clarify to you now what exactly Rabbi Yochanan said. Ki Amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'Rabbi Yossi, ad lo lehis ana'a. When Rabbi Yochanan said the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, it was regarding not fasting. Meaning, evidently, Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Yossi regarding fasting, that if it's, again, prohibited to fast on Monday, then Sunday and Tuesday will also be prohibited in fasting. But when it comes to eulogizing, he holds a Rabbi Meir, which would say that if it's prohibited to eulogize on Monday, then Sunday and Tuesday will also be then those days will be permitted in eulogizing. So he only holds a Rabbi Yossi when it comes to fasting. Okay, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Do we really say that Rabbi Yochanan says this? V'Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Kistam Mishnah. We know that Rabbi Yochanan says this is going to be a bit of a journey now. So stay with me. Rabbi Yochanan says that the halacha follows a Stam Mishnah, meaning when there's no author, we follow the Mishnah. And when there's no one quoted as the author and no one arguing on that, we follow the Stam Mishnah of Itanan, and we have a Mishnah that says what? Afal Pisha Amru Makdim and Velo Ma'achrin. Even though they say that. When it comes to reading Megillah for Purim, that we are allowed to make the day earlier, but we're not allowed to make the day later, right? So in other words, if someone is the latest date for us to read Megillah is on the 14th, so we're not allowed to make the day of Megillah reading on 16th of Adar, but we can make it on the 13th, or the 12th, or the 11th, we do have the right to do that. So, nonetheless, says the Gemara, on top of Yud Ches Mabez, Mutar and Behesped V'tainis, on those earlier days, says the Mishnah, one is permitted to give a eulogy and fast. So what's the chiddush of this? Well, because we know on Purim you can't give a eulogy on and fast. So if you're allowed to, the chiddush of this statement is that it has nothing to do with when you read the Megillah. Purim is when Purim is, and you might just end up reading the Megillah a little earlier, and that day of reading does not affect eulogizing or fasting. It could still be permitted to eulogize and fast on those days. Amos says the Gemara, Ilim b'nei chamesar. So what's the case we're talking about over here? Ilim b'nei chamesar v'ka karule b'arbesar. If we're talking about the people who have the obligation to read Megillah on the 15th, and we're saying that they're going to read it earlier, which means earlier on the 14th, umi shari, would anyone actually ever permit the people who read it on the 15th, who are then going to read it on the 14th, will we ever tell those people that they are allowed to give a eulogy or fast on those days? V'haksiv, the Megillah Sinus, but it says in Megillah Sinus, Yom Arba Asar Bo, V'yom HaChamisha Asar Bo, Yomei Purya Enon, that both the 14th and the 15th are considered days of Purim, Delo L'mispad Behon, that you can't give a eulogy and you can't fast on those days. So, V'amar Rava, Lo Nitzrucha Elo L'Asar es shelze baze ves shelze baze. Evidently, for even no matter if you're someone who reads Megillah on the 14th or you're someone who reads Megillah on the 15th, which again, people from walled cities that go back to the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, those people read Megillah on the 15th. So whether you're a person who reads on the 14th or the 15th, for both of those days, it's going to be prohibited for one to eulogize and fair. So therefore, it can be we're talking about a case of someone who reads on the 15th who's going to read it earlier on the 14th, and that person is going to be permitted to eulogize and fast on the 14th, because for the guy on the 15th, it's also prohibited to fast and eulogize on the 14th, and for the 14th guy, it's also prohibited to fast and eulogize on the 15th. Which case are we talking about? Ve'ela b'nei arbeiser. Maybe we're talking about a guy who has the obligation to read on the 14th. Ve'kakari le'le b'tleiser. Maybe he's going to read on the 13th. Yom Nikanor, says the Gemara. No, it's the 13th is Nikanor day. What's Nikanor day? Well, it looks like we'll explain that next time. But it's some holiday. So the 13th is Nikanor day, and therefore one can also not eulogize and fast on those days. So it can't be we're talking about that case. Vela Bnei Arbeiser. Maybe we're talking about the case of someone who normally lands on the 14th, but he landed a little bit early. The Megillah, he's landing on the 12th. Says the Gemara, can't be Yom Trinusu. It's the day of Trinus, which again we'll explain what that is next time. Ela lab de kakarule bechadesar. Right? Are we not talking about a case where someone who normally reads on the 14th is now going to read on the 11th? Vikatani mutar behesped ubitainis. And that's when we taught the case that on the 11th day it's going to be permissible to give a hesped and to give a eulogy and to fast on the day. Says the Gemara, lo, that doesn't make any sense. Because b'nei arbasar v'kakaru le'betresar v'dekamart yom trinosu. You told me. It doesn't make sense to say that the 11th day is going to be permitted to do those things, because what we've been saying all along is that the day before any holiday is going to be still prohibited in these days. So if the, as long as day 12 is going to be a holiday, which we agree that day 12 is Yom Trinus, so if it's going to be a holiday, so therefore day 11 will also be prohibited. So it can be, because it can't be. So therefore it says the Gemara, lo, that's not the case. It's not that it's a guy on the 14th reading on the 13th or the 11th. What is it? B'nei arba'asar v'kakarulei b'treisar. It's the people who normally read on the 14th that are going to be now reading on the 12th, but I don't understand. He said a second ago that was a holiday. No, but to come out, Yom Trinus, so it's not actually a holiday anymore. Why? Because Yom Trinus gufei betuli betluhu. Because the holiday of Trinus was canceled out by the rabbis, and therefore, since it was canceled out, now day 12 is a day in which one is permitted to fast and eulogize. So again, as someone who normally reads on the 14th, he is now going to read on the 12th. Since the 12th is no longer a holiday, you can have a situation where it is permitted to fast and eulogize on the 12th, and you do not have to be concerned about fasting on those days. Says the Gemara, what? Hoil v'nargu bo. So why was it nullified? Because Hoel v'Naragubo Shemaya v'Achia Achav. Why was the Yom Trinus? Why was it nullified? Because on that day it happens to be that Shemaya and his brother Achayo were killed on those days, so it became a very somber day. So therefore, one is allowed to fast on those days. Kiha de Rav Nachman Gazar Tanisa b'Shreisar. Because we once had the following story, that Rav Nachman decreed a fast on the 12th of Adar. Amr le Rabbanan Yom Trinus. So they said, what are you talking about? It's Trinus Day. How can you do this? Amr lehu Yom Trinus Gufi Batule Batlu. Because he says, no, don't worry. The day was nullified as a holiday. Because Hoel v'Nargu Bo Shemaya v'Achia Achiv. Because these two individuals were murdered on this day. Says the Gemara, what? V'tepuk le dehava le Yom Shalifnei Nikan. Or what are you talking about? No matter which way you swing it, if even if day 12 will be nullified and as a holiday, and therefore it will become permissible to fast and eulogize, day 13 is still Yom Nikanor, and the day before is they're gonna therefore also gonna be prohibited in fasting and eulogizing. Says the Gemara, no. You know, that works only up until a certain point. Why? Because I'm a Ravashi. Hashta ihu gufei bat luhu mishum yom nikanor nikum v'nigzar. If you're telling me that they specifically nullified the holiday on the 12th day of Adar, are you really going to tell me now that on the 13th day of Adar there is a holiday, so you're going to superimpose some of those holiday rules onto day 12 when they specifically nullified the other holiday? It can't be. Therefore, where are you left? That on day 12 the holiday is going to be, it was nullified. And even though in a normal case, if you have a holiday happening the next day, if the holiday is happening on the 13th, it should therefore prohibit any sort of fasting or eulogizing on the day before, aka on the day 12. However, since the rabbi specifically came along and nullified a holiday already on day 12, you can't then come along and re-prohibit fasting and eulogizing, because that would just it just doesn't sound right to do that. So anyways, that brings more or less to the end of this conversation. Next time we'll begin from next line, where it says my Nikanor or my Trinus, where we try to understand what Nikanor day and what Trinus day are. But for now, we'll stop right here. And again, I just apologize for the lack of clarity on the previous Amud. God willing, next time, just remind me, we'll start off from the previous Amud just to give clarification of where we were. But again, so next time, we'll hope to finish the second parak, and everyone should have a great night.